Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 163. My name is John Morgan, at home in Las Vegas, Sin City. While my man Cole Coffee, where is he at? He is in Rio de Janeiro, the magical city? Is that what it's called? The marvelous city. The marvelous city. All noise is on the beach. I am jealous. My man is down there in Brazil. Rio de Janeiro is one of my absolute favorite cities on earth. Now, I say that understanding fully from all my Brazilian friends that live there. They will be happy to tell you that there is lots going on behind the scenes that makes it not the most fantastic place to live. And I get that. I understand the political issues. I understand the traffic issues. I understand the financial issues. I get it. It's not the best place in the world to live. But damn it, it is a wonderful place to visit, especially just to go there for a week covering a fight. Man, we always end up staying in a hotel right on the beach. So you put in the long hours, but then when you get done, you just walk right across the street. You dodge a few cars crossing the little avenue there, and you walk out on the beach, and there's a little kiosk where you can sit down on a plastic chair, order yourself a nice ice-cold liter of Original, and it's going to cost you about $1.50. Can't beat that, and I'm not there. But my man Cole Coffee is, listen, I made a big boy decision. You know, I'm 40 years old at this point, and I made a big boy decision. Saturday is my son's birthday. He's turning 6 years old. I've already missed two of his birthdays up to this point. And so I took myself out of the running for going down there to Rio de Janeiro. Sent the man Cole Coffee as well. He hooked up with, of course, Fernanda Praches, who lives in Rio. And they are busy covering UFC 224. Meanwhile, out in San Jose, California, our man Simon Samana was out there. Dave Mandel, the homie, the longtime SureDog employee who has been just doing fantastic work for us anytime we get to call on him. He's handling business along with Simon Samana out there in San Jose, California. There's also ONE Championship 72 from Jakarta, Indonesia. Yeah, we don't have anybody covering that. But we do got people in Brazil. We do got people in California. So Saturday is a busy, busy day. I actually stayed home. I will have to work that night, no question about it. With two events going on simultaneously, I will definitely be helping out the team, but I will be doing it from the comfort of my own home. We're going to have a birthday party that morning for my son. Like I said, I missed two of his birthdays. I know exactly where I was. One, I was in Manila, and I said, I'll never do this again. You know, next year I'll stay home. And the next year was the stadium show in Brazil, in Curitiba. And I'm like, well, I can't not go to a stadium show. I have to do that. So I ended up, even though I promised I wouldn't miss, I missed. And so now I've said, listen, I've grown up. I got to stay home. And you know what? I'm happy. I got to say, not to go too much into my personal life versus the MMA you're all here to listen to and talk about. But I felt good, man, to stay home. I just finished a field day for my son, so it was pretty awesome to be able to go to his school and do that, and you know, kind of running around outside all day. And I don't know if there's a fight you could put on where I'd skip my son's birthday again. You know, I'm sure if it was a Conor McGregor fight, we'd have to talk about it. You know, one of those a return of Ronda Rousey. You know, the big click items, the one where my boss, you know, definitely tells me, John, you got to be there. If it was, you know, Mayweather McGregor 2 or some nonsense like that, I'd have to figure out a way to be there. But you know, maybe I could just bring them along for the ride. So it's been great. It's been a busy week. I have been on a little vacation. It is Thursday, as we always do, the MMA Roadshow. Just because I'm on a little mini staycation doesn't mean we're not going to put the podcast together. Come on now. I did take Monday through Thursday off, so I've been a little bit out of the loop. My wife went out to Phoenix to go see a Taylor Swift concert, and I was happy as hell she didn't make me go with her. I actually took her to a Taylor Swift concert before. I'm not gonna lie, it was at Cowboy Stadium. It was pretty. It was pretty entertaining. I'm gonna go ahead and leave my man card on the table. If anybody wants to grab it, I'm gonna understand. I'm gonna understand where you're coming from. But it was entertaining. I mean, you know, you put on a show inside a football stadium, you gotta do something pretty special. And it was entertaining. But I will say, second time around, I'm glad that she left me behind. But my mom came to town for a little visit. We hung out, take care of my son all week. And, we'll get back to work tomorrow. So thank you to the rest of the MMA Junkie team for manning the site while I was gone and enjoying. Now, of course, I'm a little bit of a workaholic, so I didn't fully get out of the loop. I've never been able to figure out how to just completely unplug from mixed martial arts. Fortunately, it's something I'm passionate about that I do work in, but just walking away from it, not going to happen. So the big news this week has definitely been, for me, the ESPN Plus deal for the UFC. I know there's fights to talk about, but this, to me, big time news. Been a little surprised that all we got was the press release and not a lot of interviews. I was supposed to actually speak with UFC President Dana White. Had a phone interview set up for yesterday, which I was hoping to be able to play on this podcast right here. And unfortunately, got rescheduled. And long-time listeners of the MMA Roadshow will know that the man Dana White does have to reschedule some things from time to time. Hoping that I can get something more with him. And really wouldn't even mind speaking to somebody else as well behind the scenes. And I told the UFC that. I mean, obviously, you know, Dana's, you know, a great speaker and great ambassador for the company. But, you know, even if it's some of the guys behind the scenes, you know, the Craig Borsaris of the world, the Lawrence Epstein's of the world, the Dave Shaw's of the world that, you know, help bring all these things together, even though they're not necessarily in the front lines a whole lot. I wouldn't mind speaking to them because still questions. I mean, to me, there's still a lot of questions to be answered. I get it. It's May. This thing doesn't even start till January. So we got a lot of time to figure out all the details of this. But to me, there are definitely some questions. Now, Ben Folks actually did a fantastic job. Five burning questions he wrote a little piece on. If you haven't read that, I think it's a good place to start because there are some questions about this whole deal. Now, right off the top, let me just say I think it's basically a home run for the UFC. For the UFC, I think it's basically a home run. You know, they had this number figured out there that was hung out there from the beginning. There's investor documents that MMA Junkie got a hold of, that some other places got a hold of. But, you know, they basically estimated that they thought they could get $400 million of revenue a year with the new TV deals. And a lot of people said, oh, you're crazy. And the numbers were coming out. It didn't look like it was going to be done. And now you've got ESPN taking $150 million for 15 streaming shows. That is not even the TV deal yet. And I think most people realize that. But if you don't, make sure you recognize that this is just a streaming deal. This is not even the television rights yet. So now, you know, you wanted to get that $400 million. You've already wiped $150 million off the deck. Now you just need to get $250. Maybe you don't get $250. Maybe you have to settle for another $150. Maybe you get another $200. But, you know, you're talking about a deal that averaged like $120 million. And now they're going to be talking about $350 million, maybe even $400 million. That's just domestically. That's not international. Of course, pay-per-view is still there. So, you know, you don't have to be a huge business major to understand that there's a massive increase in revenue for the UFC domestically, and that's fantastic for them. You know, they came in, they spent the money. I said it from the very beginning, and I truly believe this. Ari Emanuel, guys like that are as wealthy as they are, they don't take risk. They don't take $4 billion risks. To me, people that are that wealthy got so because they play with house money. They know what the numbers are. They know what the deal is going to be worth. And I said that all along, and maybe some of it was some blind faith, but you talk to people behind the scenes and just the understanding you get from the power. I mean, this thing is behind the scenes. There's so many things going on that as mixed martial arts journalists, you know, we see a little sliver of the pie. We wouldn't even see the whole thing. So here's $150 million up front. So already, financially, it's a home run, I think, for the UFC. The other thing that I think makes this a home run for the UFC is, yes, this is just a streaming deal. This is ESPN Plus, which, by the way, I went ahead and signed up. I wasn't signed up before, so they're already getting $4.99 a month out of me. I wanted to see what the service looked like, kind of what it already entails. And it does have a lot of other sports. I don't watch a lot of other sports anymore these days. I think mixed martial arts is pretty much engulfed my entire sports watching time, but I did go ahead and sign up for it just to kind of see what it was like and to feel it out a little bit. And it's a nice service, definitely, you know, high quality streaming. They got a lot of offerings on there, but here's the thing: is that ESPN now has a vested financial interest in this package as well, and in the sport of mixed martial arts, and more specifically the UFC. So ESPN has shown this time and time again: if they have a financial vested interest in a sport, they're going to show it more. They're going to spend more time with highlights, with interviews, with, I mean, they're going to feature that sport a little bit more. And There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, this is not, you know, a news program that has ties behind the scenes with a politician and is only giving that politician time to speak. I mean, this is sports and entertainment. So, of course, if you're ESPN, I mean, why would you ever show a Bellator highlight on your airwaves? I mean, if it's so over the top, amazing, you know, if it's, I mean, and you know, granted, they've got some fantastic athletes that do have some fantastic moments that have been featured on there. But if you're now broadcasting the UFC, why would you bother showing Bellator? Why would you bother showing Professional Fighting League? Or Fighters League, excuse me. Will they? I don't know. I mean, if it's a good highlight, if it's a damn good highlight, I think you still should. But maybe they'll only show the UFC from now on with their highlights. And even then, if nothing else, they'll definitely show more UFC. You know, you definitely will maybe get a few more highlights during SportsCenter, a couple more pieces here and there other than just the line, you know, the little ticker across the bottom. And I think that's a win. I think that's a win for the UFC. And to be honest, I think it's a win for mixed martial arts as a whole. Just getting more eyeballs, getting the sport out there in front of people, you know, keeping it, you know, alongside the major sports. It's always going to be a niche sport, but keep it alongside the major sports. Keep it mentioned there. I think this is a win. I think this deal is a win. And, you know, I'm sure when we do speak to Dana or whoever it may be, they'll probably echo those sentiments. You know, the ESPN brand is still pretty special. I know that they're having some financial issues, and I can see, you know, if you want to start arguing, people could say, oh, they're losing subscribership. And I see all those things out there. I do. I see all those things out there, and I get it. But some of the subscribership loss is due to people cutting the cord, and I think this ESPN Plus will allow people to kind of dial back into ESPN. But what I'm getting at is the ESPN brand, to me, is still a special brand. It really is. I mean, you know, when the UFC was getting into video games, you know, THQ, okay, whatever, fantastic. But when they got with EA Sports, right, I mean, that's a brand name. And you can get to the experts that can argue one's better, one's not, this, that, whatever. But ESPN is a brand name that has meaning, that means something. And I think it's special. So this is ESPN streaming. That means on their broadcast, they're going to show more of it because they want to refer people to ESPN+. They want to get people a reason to watch ESPN+. So I think this is a win all the way around, all the way around for the UFC. Now, what I'm still curious about is for the fans. I mean, if we're looking at this right, it does seem like one more streaming service that we're going to have to pick up. Now, I don't know what's going to be left on UFC Fight Pass. Will there be Fight Pass-only events in addition to these ESPN+ events? That's a question we need answered. Now, internationally, you know, there's going to be markets where I don't think ESPN Plus exists. And, you know, I mean, so I'm speaking more domestically. You know, does this mean that now you have to have Fight Pass? Or is it you really only need Fight Pass if you want to watch, you know, the Invictus of the world, the Eddie Bravo Invitationals of the world, the, you know, the everything that they show outside? Because if that's the case, that's going to be that's going to be a tough sell, because you're taking an already fractured audience and you're fracturing even more. So from a fan point of view, that's a little interesting. You know, are we going to need to have Fight Pass and ESPN Plus? Because if so, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. You know, if you can get them for the same price, and I haven't seen that yet. Now that would be slick. If you could, you know, if by having ESPN Plus, you could get Fight Pass for a discounted price that left them both at the same price, because the ESPN Plus is $4.99 a month, whereas Fight Pass is $9.99. Now, if they could give it to you for that flat $5, whatever, and you get for $9.99, you get both, boom, I'm in all day. I'm in. I like that. Hopefully that's what they can do, but that's a question. I haven't seen that yet, and that's a question I definitely want to ask. What is the future of Fight Pass? You know, are you going away on it? We still don't know how many events this means. You know, this 15, is that a piece of the pie that already existed? Is this, have we bought a new pie that we got 15 slices out of? I mean, there's you know, are we doing more events? Is this the same number of events? I don't know. Let's see. We got to find out. There's other questions. What does this mean for production? Is it still being done in-house? Does UFA Boxing play into any of this stuff? The Ultimate Fighter. Didn't see any of that listed. Is that still for the broadcast plan, or is that starting to go away? Will any of this money trickle down to the fighters? Can we expect a bump in fighter pay? I don't know. I mean, they got a lot of overhead. The UFC has a lot of overhead. So will they filter some of that down to the bottom line? You think there's at least some of it available. I mean, you could at least take up the minimums a little bit, right? So a lot of things going on here. A lot of variables. I mean, this just happened. We've got a big chunk of the news. We don't have all the news. And the other thing, of course, is, again, the broadcast part of the deal is still out there. That's huge. Okay? The things that I've heard is that Fox is still very interested in keeping this, but, not at the prices that the UFC wanted, and maybe this allows them to get it at the price they wanted. You know, if so, man, can you imagine? I mean, the rest of this year, if you have a lame duck partner, you know, can you imagine Fox Sports not only knowing that, well, we're giving up rights at the end of the year, but we're giving up rights to, you know, where the digital streaming side of this is on one of our biggest competitors. Ugh, I can't imagine what kind of partner they would be, you know? I can't imagine. But, NBC is being thrown out there as interested. Would NBC have gone in on the PFL? I mean, not to say that, you know, they're all in on the PFL and they spent so much money that they don't have money for the UFC, but it seems weird to carry the UFC and PFL, right? I mean, maybe you could put them in harmony. The PFL is going to run on Thursday nights, so you could do, you know, the Dana White's Contender Series. Well, the Dana White's Contender Series is going online to ESPN, so you don't even have to worry about that. You know, maybe it would just be more Saturday, but I don't know. That seems weird to me. If it gets done and it stays on Fox, I mean, that's pretty cool for the UFC to be on Fox Sports and ESPN. I mean, the two leading sports networks out there. That'd be a pretty big deal, and I think a good thing for the UFC and a good thing for mixed martial arts because, again, more eyeballs, you know, being put alongside the big sports. I think that's key. Just continue to push the legitimacy. Continue to push the meaning of it. I think that'd be good, but it is going to be hard. Man, it is going to be hard for people to find the fights, what time they come on, where they are, what channel, what streaming service. And that, to me, is a question mark for the fans. I mean, I get it. The fans of this sport are pretty educated, and they're pretty educated online with how to access everything. But it's just a pain in the ass to switch from one to another to another to another. You know, where is it at tonight? Where is this one at? So there's questions. But overall, I do honestly feel like this is a great thing for the UFC. And I guess we'll basically just see how things play out over time. But that's certainly the big news for me. And even being off for a couple of days, I couldn't help but try to get an interview with Dana White. So we'll try to get an interview with the UFC exec. And just get some more thoughts on this, see what they can answer. I'm sure there's still some things to be worked out. I'm sure there's still some details to be had. But I think it's a plus. I really do. I think I'm judging from the outside looking in, I think the UFC can chalk up a win here. I know everybody's been worried about the UFC, but I think they can chalk up a win here. Listen, this past weekend, with this weekend being a UFC and a Bellator week, this past weekend was a non-Bellator and non-UFC week. But I watched everything. I thought it was great. With it being kind of a slow weekend, it let me watch some of the other MMA. Sometimes I have to go back and catch up on DVR or watch some things, and it's not quite as exciting when you're watching it live, man. Even for me, even somebody that loves MMA, I got to have that live experience. So it was kind of cool to be able to watch everything. I did want to mention, you know, just a couple performances that really stuck out to me that if you're playing catch up after a week off, do so. Kyoji Horiguchi with a fantastic win. I mean, 9 seconds over Ian McCall. Got to feel bad for Ian McCall. Kind of came out afterwards and said maybe the sport is passing me by. But Kyoji Horiguchi, I've always been a fan of this guy. You know, I thought he was rushed, of course, into a title shot in the UFC. It did not pay out for him. You know, he did go all the way to the end with Demetrius Johnson, but of course he was losing that fight. But, you know, undefeated since then. He continues to pick up wins outside the UFC. 9 seconds. You can't ask for anything much better than that. And Kyoji Horiguchi, a guy that, man, worth watching, worth keeping your eye on. Don't know if he ever comes back to the UFC. I really don't. The guy makes good money in Japan. You know, he's treated like a superstar there. You know, he's headlining cards. He's the guy. He's the focus. He's the feature. And I think that means something. You know, I don't think he's a fame whore by any stretch of the imagination, but it helps the paychecks. It helps his marketing opportunities. It helps a lot of ways to be the guy. And he's the guy. And, even if he could get paid the same amount to come to the UFC, I don't know that he's as valuable to the UFC as he is to Rizin fighting over there. I think it's a win-win on both situations. He can make more money, and he's more valuable, so they can sell the hometown guy, the homegrown guy. I would love to see him back at the UFC someday. I'd love to see him fight Demetrius Johnson again someday. Not that I'm picking him. I mean, Demetrius Johnson, to me, greatest pound-for-pound fighter on the planet right now. But he was rushed into the fight the first time around. I think he's better now. And I think it might be, maybe it'd be a more competitive matchup at this point. At least it'd be a top contender. Not that DJ doesn't have other people to fight. He does have some other people to fight. But I would like to see that at some point. I really would. Invicta SC 29 took place over the weekend as well. Sarah Kaufman picked up the vacant women's bantamweight title. Looked very, very good doing it as well. Was incredibly impressed with her performance. She is shining outside of the UFC as well, and certainly thought that she deserves some praise for that performance. And I enjoyed watching it, to be honest with you. It's good to see her dominate. I know she hasn't always felt like she got treated especially well in her time in the UFC, and I think it's good to see her doing good things outside of the UFC as well. And there was an Access TV fight as well, LFA 39. And I'll tell you, the one that most stuck out to me was Macy Barber. Macy Barber, just a teenager, looking like an absolute vicious animal. Says she wants to be the youngest champion in UFC history. Remember the name if you haven't seen this performance. She's fought four times now under the LFA banner. She's 4-0. She's had three stoppages along the way. She looks like the real deal, and I think it's a name to remember, Macy Barber. All right, listen, like I said, I'm just chilling here in Las Vegas. It's fun, but this is the MMA Roadshow. You don't want me to just sit here and talk about MMA. You want to hear from things that are happening on the road. And in order to do that, you got to take it down to Rio de Janeiro. To my man, Cole Coffee, lining things up in Rio. A new hotel. They stayed in a new hotel, a different area. I'm bummed. Like I said, Rio, one of my favorite cities on earth to go work in, one of my favorite cities on earth to go visit. I'm not there, but Cole Coffee is.
Well, thank you, John, very much. And yes, here we are in Rio at the lovely Windsor Merapendi, not the Windsor Baja that we normally stay at, but I am joined by our wonderful, normal Rio guest extraordinaire, Fernanda Praches.
Hello. Yes, it's a new hotel, but it's basically the same thing. I don't know why we're making a thing out of it,
but apparently it's brand new and shiny. The internet works pretty decently here.
It's like two blocks away. But okay, if we're making
a little bit further than two blocks.
Yeah,
two, like, Brazilian blocks, maybe
three.
Three stabbings, four shootings, and 10 hookers along the way.
I've never been stabbed once. That's what I'm saying.
Boring life.
But I'm saying I've been living in Rio for long enough that's. But yeah, it's a new hotel. Sorry, guys. I just brought this.
Oh, speaking of hotel, what's that? What is that? Let me go to the door real quick. Oh.
Hello!
Well, goodness me. This hotel happens to also be where Fiasco Jones is staying.
This is amazing.
Fiasco, what's up, brother?
Not much. I heard someone talking about hookers along the road.
Well, you've seen it. This is a new location. I'm sure you actually, to go behind the curtain, we're asking if those were hookers we just passed on the way home from the steakhouse.
I'm pretty convinced, even though feminist Fernanda says probably just women trying to get from point A to point B.
Yeah,
I think point B is a transactional sex operation.
What is happening?
Well, welcome to Rio, guys. The weather
is not Rio, though. Okay, sorry. Okay, go ahead, guys.
Are you going to get all like, oh, this is not Rio, folks. No, we're in Baja de Tuaca. We're blah, blah, blah. You're going to get all like snobby on us now.
I'm just going to play along with this. Let's
all right, we're not in Rio, everybody. We're not in Rio.
We're in a beach town somewhere near Rio.
Rio.
I'm just saying that your definition of Rio is like the GTA game. Like, it's not how it happens.
Okay, this is why we brought Rio, Fernanda onto the show to bring her personality with her this evening.
She's bringing some fact-checking to the show.
Well, besides, they still have the cabana across the street with the cold beers, and that's always good. Unfortunately, we don't have Mr. Morgan here with us, so nights end a lot sooner. We're getting to bed a lot earlier, and we're imbibing a lot less beers.
There have still been beers.
There's
though.
a few yeah. frosty beverages. Like, yeah, like
a, I think a healthy amount.
Yeah,
you know? Like before, before, right before you crest regret and headaches. You we're at that point. I'm right there. I've already gotten my headache right now, early.
Well, my headache's slowly building right as this podcast has continued. So we're getting there. We're getting there. All right, well, let's jump to this week's activities. We landed on Tuesday. Well, Fernando drove into town on Tuesday. We had our early interviews, and you'll hear one of those here towards the end. Well, actually, yeah, you'll hear one towards the end. It was great. I mean, normally we get into a place and we have to kind of get a little time to settle in, but our schedules kind of worked out that we pretty much hit the ground running. And Fernando did a great job, set up some interviews for us to have. What were some of your favorites out of it? And if you guys haven't heard these interviews, go to MMAJunkie.com and you can see all the sit-down interviews that we did with Fernanda. She was a little bit shy, didn't want to be on the camera, but, you know, we lit her up real well, and I thought she did a wonderful job. So were there any favorite interviews that you had?
I think the most intriguing slash puzzling slash interesting slash frightening, maybe, was Victor Belfort. That was a highlight, I think, just because it was just like, there was so much going on, and it, you guys know, like, when you interview Vitor long enough, you come to expect, with every fight week, he comes in with a different, like, message, I guess, to get across. And this time, though, like, I kind of, instead of just trying to, like, you know, narrow that interview down, I just kind of, like, went with it. And I think that after it was done, I was a bit confused as to what had happened. But I think it amounted to a pretty interesting one. But all of them, I think Amanda Nunes was a good one. I think that Amanda is a champion that most people don't really get a chance to know her personality that well. She's not that out there. She's a more reserved person, I think. You know, outside of fight week, you don't hear much from her. So I think that we were able to, you know, just get a glimpse of her personality, which is interesting.
And I think that came out more, too, at the open workouts that followed the day after. She really embraced the fact of kind of coming out there. You know, the crowd gave her a good pop. She did her little champion sort of walk when she first got onto the mat. And it was great, because I love when, you know, she's done so well in the States of being a good spokesperson for the sport. You know, a lot of times she goes to these events and different things, and she's not getting the pop a lot of times as her opponent is.
Yeah.
And coming here and doing it here in heel, she's getting that pop that you want to see a fighter get, you know? So I was happy for her to kind of get that, you know? So it's good to see her personality get out, because I think a lot of times she's so business oriented. She's very much about the fight. She's very much doing business. So she doesn't come out of her shell as much, but she's been really embracing it. And she even said in your interview, you know, like, you know, getting these wins, she wants to share that moment. That's one of the things that she was looking forward to, was the moment after seeing the crowd and being able to share that elation with the crowd. And I think that was a wonderful sentiment that she said. So that was great. That was great. But yeah, that was definitely one of the good ones. I thought your interview with Raquel was also very good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, Raquel is one of those people that she's hard to get out of her shell. Like, she's not enthusiastic. Like, she's not that really bubbly personality. But then when you start talking to her, like, she's actually quite warm and she's open. Like, you just have to pay attention to what she's saying. So I really enjoy, you know, Kenny was like really pissed because we went way overboard. I ended up talking to her for like 17 minutes or
like, can we keep these, normally do these 6 to 8 minutes. We'll get in, we'll get out, you know.
I got way carried away there. Yeah. But just because I was interested, because she was giving me so much more than I guess I expected at first. So
that was
a good one.
And it's funny, too, because, I mean, like, it's one thing when you get a fighter to talk about the fight. They hear it so much that I think they get, you know, it's old stuff that they're just like, oh, again, again, again. But what topic did you bring up that she really got just lit up about?
Tisha?
When you started talking about Tisha. So I think that's what tends to happen when you talk to a fighter about their personal life, things outside, whether it be their dog, their other occupation that they might do, or their family. That's where you get to see a lot of personality come out, because they're like, thank God you're not
sometimes
asking me again.
Sometimes it's good, like with her, or sometimes that's bad, like with Michael McDonald and, like, carving things out of wood. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're not that interested in that, kid. But
you never know. There might be. I'm sure there's quite a few listeners of the MMA Roadshow that are wood carvers out there.
I'm really sorry that I offended you guys.
Yes, thank you for the two of you.
I'm personally offended. That's really pretty much all I do.
Fiasco likes to carve wood. Really, he likes to carve wood.
Well, all the power to you. But you call it whittling. Yeah, I always. That's the thing that I always look for when I'm interviewing someone, and sometimes it backfires a little bit because sometimes the fighters are not that comfortable sharing those things with me. But
well, and that those sometimes are the hard times because you don't want to pry too much. But that's also where you want to connect to these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys and gals. I mean, like, this is their life. You know, they work so hard, and a lot of times they sacrifice time with their loved ones. So I feel by sometimes us engaging them with that, it gives them a moment to kind of give thanks back to their partners.
I think so.
You know, their families. So, but that's usually, it's great. But yeah, I thought she lit up like a light bulb. And that's why we end up running an extra like 8 minutes towards the end. Because you found a topic that you really wanted to talk about, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think we could talk, you know, have her talk about the fight with Amanda or the fight with Cyborg and all that bull crap till she turns blue in the face. But once she started talking about Tisha, that was actually pretty funny, you know, especially when we were talking about the diet and how when they go shopping, you know, she'll look one thing and then Tisha looks like
she's the straw weight, but she's the one who gets to have ice cream. So she would say, like, they go grocery shopping and then Raquel's card is like the grown up card and Tisha's card is like the children card, like ice cream and all the treats and things like
and
that.
It's like, if she wants to see your abs, she'll just diet for one day. I'm like, oh yeah, that's just like me. Just like me.
They're in there somewhere. If only I could diet for an entire day.
So, I thought the interviews were great, and thank you to the PR team for allowing us to kind of do that. You know, sometimes it's nice to be able to go into place and kind of settle in and get the lay of the land and feel. But so that one was kind of a, we just hit the ground running, but I thought that went good. And then we followed it up and had the open workouts, which was in, do you remember what the name of the mall was?
It's Baja Shopping. It's a pretty big one. And it's one of the biggest and most traditional ones
here. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it had the multiple different food courts. And I remember we walked to a different food court and it literally felt like we walked for like half a mile before we found it.
Katie's just talking about the food court.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to that. I'm describing
the size. And walking
to
the food court.
And walking to the food court, lugging
my gear.
That tells
a lot. That paints a very
And then that's all that happened at the mall. We went to the food
court. End of the story. It was the worst walk I've ever had in my entire life. I felt I was going to die if I didn't get there.
But then there was food at the end of it.
But then there was food. Okay. And then it was good story. But no, it was great. All right, so this center section where they had the mat set up had a couple different upper layers, levels where the railing wrapped around, so people were able to kind of lean over and look down at all their favorite fans. We had fighter fans wrapped around on the bottom. It was a pretty decent media turnout. I mean, like, we were kind of stuck into a location because the way that the Brazilian PR staff does it a little bit different than some of the U.S.
Shade.
Staff is they put these, what do you call it, stanchions and stuff or whatever, the piping or whatever you call those ropes.
Stanchions. Correct, yeah.
So you couldn't get to the stage. And so rather than be able to kind of just flow around and get all the different shots like we normally do, they kind of roped it off. So once you got to an area, you were kind of stuck. So that kind of sucks for us, but that's just us talking shop or whatever. But there was kind of that funny moment later on with the lights where one of the lights, the LED lights went all wacky and went into like disco mode. And I think it was during Amanda's workout and it starts changing lights and it was strobing out. And I was just like, oh, this is so Brazil. And it had like a weird
shade.
Like purple light. I'm throwing shade. Hey, if I'm not in Rio, I'll throw shade. I got nothing but shade. You do one event a year and you can't do it right.
Okay, that's
that's shade.
That was not.
That's shade.
That was not taking shots at Brazil at all. That was.
But besides that, it was a decent event,
right? Everything that sucked, it was decent.
Yeah. Besides that,
that's
it was
just
okay.
Getting even criticism on anything, though. Yes. It's like whenever I do something, it's like it was fine. That's the best I'm gonna get.
Well, and I always find it funny when they put a time frame. They're like, okay, this is gonna start on this, and it's gonna end on 7:30.
That's Brazil time for you, though.
Which is ridiculous, though. Still, like,
I agree.
You know, why put out a schedule? Just say, all right, here's a random time range of when we think we're gonna end. It was supposed to
because
end.
Because no one will show up. It was supposed to no end one will around show up. Like, if it's question mark.
Because
mark.
That's still, exactly life for us.
But change the life.
I agree.
You put a thing there.
I'm
I mean,
all,
like,
I'm
you're
all
not
in.
Savages. You have a time frame. follow the time frame.
Yeah.
You're not filthy animals, like some American said once. This is not that
American.
Very
loudly in front of a packed arena.
In front of a packed Brazilian crowd. But yeah, so they were supposed to finish around 7:30-ish or 8. I think we got out of there after 9.
And we were like dying of starvation.
Yeah, it was not the prettiest. But it was really neat. It was the crowd, I think, appreciated it.
Yeah.
Who got the biggest pops, you think? Jacare. Jacare got a huge pop from
and
the
Vitor.
Crowd. And I was a little, Vitor did. But sometimes I think they were loving his dog. Sometimes I think she gets a big pop too. Everybody's like, oh, cute
that's like
dog.
Cheating, right? Like, I'm just gonna bring my
he totally
cute
cheated.
Dog
he brought,
with
he brought
me.
A cute dog with him, so he
no,
cheated.
I think it was the timing too, because like when so I if I remember correctly, the first one was Lyoto was the first stop.
Yes.
So that's like it wasn't that crowded yet. So that makes it was a little bit empty.
He also made a theatrical mistake. He led off with yoga and stretching. No, this isn't
he
for
lost
that.
Us there.
Yeah, you come in blazing hot, guns hot, and you just start throwing kicks. That's
ultimately what I think people want to see. I mean, I think I like it when the fighter's like, all right, fuck it, I should be cutting weight. You're gonna take me away from my workout. I'm gonna actually get a workout and Tony Ferguson is like one of those guys that did it. Conor back in the day, before Conor became superstar Conor, used to put like an hour workout. The dude would like bust his – he would like literally work out. That's where you see some of these guys stretch. I'm like, okay, he's gonna get into
but
it.
But Lyoto went into it afterward. What
he
I'm
did
thinking
a little
is like,
bit.
Yeah,
he did a little bit.
But
he
I
didn't really go
they
crazy.
But I think they put like time limitations on them. Yeah. I think that's why you know
put time limitation even though he showed up like super late.
But if you see none of them like lasted that long, I think it was more the gap between them.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, and I think some of the others were just like because I think they had them scheduled for like 15-minute slots. So I think someone came
it's
in
funny.
Were like expecting.
I was,
to be, like,
I was Yeah, cage side, and there was because thankfully the Pepsi company sent me here for whatever reason.
I love it when Pepsi sends you here.
I know, I do too. It's a fun reward for hard work. So there was a point where Lyoto's like, "I'm done," and the people on the side were like, "You just like you gotta keep going, you gotta keep going." He's like, "But
I'm
and then he went back. That's when he came back out and did some shadow boxing.
Okay,
and then he like sort of.
Then he just
sparred around with like Chinzo a little bit.
Yeah, and then
he
stopped again, and then they're like, all right, fine. Because they're like, I think the idea was that like you're really late, and they waited, and now you're only going to give him like
five minutes
of.
It was kind of interesting how they brought him down the elevator. So there was like those dramatic moments where everybody would like see a pile of people in the elevator, and they're like, who is it? Who is it?
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of interesting, you know, for what it was. But so that was good. I mean, it was interesting. I always love when they do some of those fan-forward things and they actually have a good turnout and that they actually were into it. And the fans seemed into it. So good on them to give them something. And people – I haven't heard anything about the community event that happened – was that yesterday or today? How that went. But the UFC did another community event with Big Nog, I believe. So hopefully that went good. But yeah, there was a good turnout for the open workouts and stuff. But today we had media day, and they brought the main card fighters, and so we got to talk to some more fighters today. And then we had the media day face-offs, uneventful face-offs. You know, no animosity. Nobody was jumping
what are
anybody's
you talking
face.
About that cringeworthy moment of hostility between Amanda Cooper and Mackenzie Dern.
Oh, the answered handshake that
just,
was intense.
That sent shivers to the entire crowd. They're like what's happening?
The good thing is that the first time, so Mackenzie reached out the first time, and then Cooper sort of ignored her. But it wasn't on his mistake.
She didn't see it.
The minute she saw it, she replied. Because people like, ooh, almost. And then Cooper replied, and all was good. And then they did the face-off, and then Mackenzie went for the reach once more, and Cooper just walked away. I don't think it was a diss.
I think her back was completely turned at
that
point.
That's what it looked like.
Because they do the part where they face off, and they're squaring at each other, and then you've all seen this, and then they turn outward towards the media and stuff.
Yeah.
But then Amanda just spun to the left, and right at the time when she spun into the left, Mackenzie turned back for that thank you shake. And then it was just how the crowd sort of like went, ooh.
She was awesome.
She just kind of laughed.
So this is what happened. I was left hanging. That's life. I'll just move on.
So it was kind of funny. But besides, all right, I forgot that huge
dramatic
moment.
Gallagher tried to be like a little, but the thing with him was like he – Yeah, he was being more aggressive, I guess, in the lead-up.
He was trying to...
He was friendly.
Well, like, when they were first walking, it looked like he was trying to do, like, one of those, like, little wrestling moves. Like, they were going to go down for wrestling.
For the leg, yeah.
Where John, in his mind, was just like, I got to somehow get on that side because I've shaved because UFC of the shit. That was so cute. You know, and I think Keller was like, what is going on here? But it took him straight. I think he saw it and was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. I get it. But no, I thought they were pretty, was great and was cordial, you know?
Yeah, it was amicable.
There was nobody there that I felt that there was, like, any, like, fireworks coming. Victor, like, there's no hatred from anybody coming in. But Victor Belfort
wearing the... I saw a bunch of memes on that. Oh, on Belfort and Lyoto, yeah, like, haven't seen him, don't you ever Lyoto step on my lawn again.
Lyoto was wearing a bathrobe. What did it say on the back
of it? It said...
Vitor.
I did not wake up today to be mediocre. And then he was... But he was fully committed to the retired look, right? So he was wearing the bathrobe, the, like, sweatpants type thing. And then he was wearing sandals.
Or like UFC slippers, I think.
With, like, squared socks.
Yeah.
So he was just... And he had a mug. I didn't even see it at the time. But afterward, he was... So I thought it was brilliant. It's like, this is my last day on the job. And I don't care. This is how I'm going to show up.
And every interview I've had with him so far is definitely like I have short-timer's disease. Like when you're trying to get like a hype, like a sound bite for like some hype. Yeah. He's like, it's a fight. Fights are fights. I've done so many fights. It's like, what am I going to do? I'll worry about it when I'm in the fight. I'm like, that's just not really a sizzling soundbite, but all right, thank you. That's all I'm gonna get from you.
But that was we didn't get a single sizzling soundbite from him. But that's why our interview was just so interesting. I think, but that was never like, and that was my first question. So is this like, can we call that your retirement fight? Like it seems like a simple enough question, and it was like
nothing.
No,
simple.
It's a retirement. I'm not retiring. I'm like okay. But it is my final fight. And then he explained. Yeah. But the memes were, to me, the best thing. Like, that was it. Like, when one of them was this one that I just mentioned. Like, well, when you, it's your last day in the job and it just don't give a fuck anymore. Like, there was this whole look. There were montages going on. I fully advise you guys to go on Twitter
and just go Victor Belfort. I had no idea.
It's gold. It's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
I love it. So tonight we went for the second time to the Brazilian steakhouse. I know Fernandez, you know, informed us that it's not the greatest steakhouse, but it has improved since the last time
we were.
Normally, when we stayed at the Winds of Baja down the street, it's literally just a walk around the corner.
Yeah.
Now it's just a little bit slight drive down the street, but they have improved a little bit. But for the current exchange rate, at like 3-ish to 1, the steak dinner or the all-you-can-eat steak dinner was like 79 Brazilian dollars. But for us, the
Quakes... Brazilian dollars?
Whatever, Brazilian
it's
currency.
It's called the real. Hey, we have a currency.
I don't even call it that. I call it the real.
Oh, another American who thinks the world revolves
it
around
is what
him.
We call it. It is Western chauvinism.
Yeah, you're the only ones who use Fahrenheit. Go suck a Fahrenheit dick,
that's
you
right.
Assholes. That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, guys.
They're
going
to have to change the rating on the iTunes now.
No, it's already explicit just for this moment. All right, so we had the steak dinner, which was good.
The steak, everything was a steak dinner there.
It was just one long protracted steak dinner.
Right? Well, they had some veggies and stuff that you could mix in.
Which is
in
what
between.
I had, but...
Yeah, that's what we did. That's what we do. But no, it was good. So I thought that was good. But besides that, there's not many other options besides hotels around here. I mean, granted, we haven't really explored too many areas, but I'm personally like a creature of comfort. So like, if I know a place, I'm like, I will hit it every other night.
I've become aware of that over the years.
Yes.
That you guys will eat like in the same place.
Like, don't put a Nando's nearby. Don't put a Nando's nearby.
Yeah,
or
I haven't tried
Morgan
it yet,
and those
but,
guys
yeah.
will go there literally every day.
Every
of the
single
week.
Day. I've realized that. But
that's how we do.
I realized how extreme you were about this Chescaria place because. After the first night, I was like, I can feel my cholesterol rising. I think I have an embolism just forming right now. And then he's like, let's go back again the next day. I'm like, the next day? I'm like, let's just give it a rest. Let's go on break. And then we went back today. I'm like, I don't know my body can handle this. I can have a headache now, an unusual headache. I don't know why I'm having a headache, but
Well,
it's the meat sweats. It's beyond meat sweats. I'm all clogged up with meat.
What did we say we wanted? What the meat sweats would be called in Portuguese?
Suadeira da carne.
Yeah, sounds so much better than meat sweats.
Yes, it does. This is not sexy at all, guys.
It sounded pretty good.
I've heard people. I will say like the weirdest shit in Portuguese, and people that sounds sexy. Like new.
Say it one more time for everybody.
No
meat sweats.
Suadeira da carne.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love it.
How much for that?
All right,
actually, it's like 6-7 reais, so you can get that easily. Yeah.
And a lifetime of regret.
Well, before we start to wrap it up, Fernanda, give the listeners an update. How is Brazil doing? You know, sometimes when we've come
How's
down
Brazil?
Here,
that's fucking intense.
Well, I mean, sometimes we come down here. Literally, there were like road blockages and like you know, active protests. Some of the last times we've been here, but like. What's going on in this area? How are things going on in Brazil? How are the Brazilian people right now?
This is very intense. Like, I cannot speak on behalf of the country of Brazil.
I think you can, if you tried.
I cannot. Well, on behalf, as the spokesperson who Brazil nominated to speak.
They did. I saw it in the paper.
We are on the shitter. it's turbulent times. Like, since we've had the coup. Which some people call the impeachment, but it was the coup. And it's politically, it's been rough for Brazil, and we're kind of at that stage yet, and also economically. So it's it's a lot like you guys. Like, it hasn't been easy for you guys either, like right now. So it's just a time that it can, you know, I think that we're going through a time that can really make us politically if we use it to mobilize ourselves. But it can also really be awful. So,
that's what I like to hear.
Yeah, so that's how we're going through delicate times. It's very complicated. I cannot say all of what Brazil is going on in just these couple of minutes, but if you guys are interested, I can send you links. We can talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah, if you don't, if people don't follow you and know how to get more info, where should they follow?
I'm at Nanda Prates. It would be NANDAPRATES, and I have an underscore, which I absolutely hate. But apparently, there's another Fernanda without an underscore, and she's an egg. She doesn't tweet anything.
An egg.
She's just over there taking up space. And a perfectly good Twitter name.
Is that a Portuguese saying, a colloquialism?
An egg? Yeah, like on Twitter.
No tweets?
Yeah, oh, when you don't have a profile picture, you're an egg.
Oh, okay.
I'm not just making this up. Like, this
it's just kind of random how
she's an egg.
But that's okay. So I'm gonna subtweet other people, Submission Radio, when I talk to them. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, she's an egg. And I'm like, so people know what that is. So they're
okay,
just
you are several generations younger than us. So
and they're
that's
intellectually
probably,
superior. So there's, I'm just kidding. Nice. Well,
perhaps next time you could stay on their podcast. This will be the last invitation you have from ours.
I'm taking your spot.
Wrapping this show up, yeah. Albert, you said that earlier you had mentioned something about a quiz of some sort.
Yes, I have a quiz for both of you, actually.
What is this quiz all about?
Well, as some of you may know, not Fernanda, there's a new podcast out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
It's
Color Me Interested. Is that a thing people say?
No.
Why not?
And unfortunately, hold on a sec. I have to get, let's see. See, hold on.
Because I don't edit these things, Albert. You got to be ready. I can't.
Oh, I thought we were dropping it, honestly.
I was planning on trying to be nice and let you at least promote your thing. Well, maybe we don't have to go on the quiz.
Oh, no. We got the quiz ready now.
Oh, God,
you waited too long.
All right.
All
Shame
right.
on me.
And here's a little preamble.
Okay. How long is this quiz? Short quiz?
Yeah, it's fairly short. Okay. I mean, it's multiple choice.
Okay.
There's only 10 questions.
What? No, we don't want to do 10 questions.
They're quick.
Oh, okay. Lord.
Maybe. We'll see. You can tap.
Or you'll be trapped forever.
You can tap, you can tap out
over.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
So here it goes.
Okay.
Are you a disgusting freak, misunderstood by society, and searching for a place where you belong? Well, I hear the YMCA is taking people. For everyone else who has a healthy curiosity for all things strange and maybe mildly apocalyptic, Odd Normal is the place for you.
Whoa.
Yes.
I thought that was that one of the questions?
No, not yet. This is the preamble. If you're unsure, if you're an odd normal person, I have a quiz for the two of you. Oh. Now, I will allow each of you to tap in a friend if you don't know the answer to this question.
Oh, that takes way too long.
Yeah.
But then, yes, I'll ask a question to – we'll start off with Fernanda, okay, and then we'll switch over. If you can't answer the question, well, then you can ask Kenny for help. First question, who is Diane Robinson? A psychic who's communicated with those that dwell in the Hollow Earth via the Agartha Network – a self-proclaimed priestess.
We're gonna do five questions.
This is already gonna get with a self-proclaimed priestess of the Dark Dragon Order who uses sexual fire to entrap the unwary to a life of servitude. A sorceress who feeds on souls, or your mom.
B.
Was that four questions? Four options.
Or I'm
was that
gonna
five?
Go with
that
B. Four.
B. A sorceress.
Yeah.
Wrong. She's a psychic who communicates with people in the Hollow Earth.
Damn it, whoa. I'm so bad at this.
Yeah.
That was a pretty awesome question though. Yeah. I was totally into that third chick.
She is pretty hot. Number? I do have her name and number, and she will get back to you.
Okay, question number two.
What is five? What is social credit? Cold coffee's preferred form of paying for frosty beverages.
Ooh.
The feeling you get when you spend too much time reading social media feeds. A form of credit reporting developed by the Chinese government. Or a financial service Wells Fargo has illegally signed you up for without your knowledge.
Ooh, let's go with the last one.
The last one, you're going last? Wrong. It is a credit form of reporting developed by the Chinese government, yes.
Damn it.
It's always the Chinese.
Fucking Chinese. They got what's up.
Like, yeah.
I thought it was going to be that one, but that Wells Fargo one sounded true.
Yeah. That sounded legit. But that's because that's how they get you, Kenny.
Damn it.
They got me, too.
So if I answer wrong, am I not supposed to listen to your podcast?
It just means that you need.
I have.
You
oh, need, I have you knowledge.
Need
more, I need.
Yeah, you need to get. Yeah, more,
okay.
More
okay.
Knowledge.
So far, we need more knowledge. Okay. Yeah. Question number three.
Where are you more likely to encounter a Flugelrad?
What is that? That is a language thing, though. I have no idea what that
is. A Flugelrad.
That sounds like a Middle Earth thing.
Okay.
The lost continent of Atlantis.
Ooh.
The icy edges of the flat Earth, near the opening to the Hollow Earth, or the alt-right blogosphere.
I say that.
What is the name of the thing?
Flugelrad.
I'll say D.
D?
Alt-right.
Alt-right blogosphere?
Yeah.
Kenny was right.
Oh, God damn it. I just think, like, weird shit happens there. Like, that's my,
that
like...
totally sounded like some BS, like, hollow shit world thing. Do they have wizards there in Hollow Earth?
They have everything there. Everything's God, better awesome. And stranger in the Hollow Earth.
Oh,
I love it.
What is the Hollow Earth?
So is that question four?
Listen to episode four.
I'll chalk it up to language, guys. I feel very ignorant.
Four? That was four.
Okay, no, last question.
This is four. Okay. I have, yeah, I think that was three.
Okay.
So what is the Jackson King scale of apocalyptic anxiety? The name of Fernanda's Instagram feed. The primary
metric. That's
the primary metric for determining one's predilection for candy measured against what they worry it will do to their waistline. A scale developed by Belgian sociologist Sturm Jackson and Johan King, used to precisely measure the potential of world-ending events, or Cold Coffee's personal ranking for whether or not he'll make it to the toilet before the shit hits before he shits himself.
That is very factual that could happen. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you feeling? C or B? You think C?
I think C might just be true.
Let's go with C.
He might be just misleading us because of King.
It's a trick question. See, it was completely made up by us at the Odd Normal podcast.
Was that one of the
but
options?
It is,
was that one of the options? Was it was made
no,
up?
It was a trick question. It was not one of the options. But we do use
fair.
It to measure the world ending
that's
of it.
That's not fair.
I know, but it sounds
all right, great. Last question, last one.
All right. Finish this sentence. Robots will take over the world and imprison humanity within a computer-generated simulation of reality called the Bertramverse.
That seems great.
Become sentient and replace our old gods.
That seems great too.
Rise to a level of complexity which allows them to take over all jobs currently held by a human.
Awesome too.
Or destroy capitalism.
I love all of them. Can I have all of them? Is that a possibility?
That is the answer.
Oh,
all of the above.
So good. God damn it. I nailed this thing. What do I get?
Well, you actually get yourself a one-way ticket to Odd Normal Land because you still need. Yeah, that's shitty, shitty, shitty.
I'm scared and aroused.
That's exactly the way you're supposed to feel.
All right, and that's a good one to end on. All right, so how can people find your podcast, Albert?
Just
I'm sorry, Fiasco Pepsi guy.
Yes, yeah, Pepsi Fiasco.
What's happening?
Just to go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts, and search for Odd Normal. You can find us on the Twitters at OddNRML and Instagram at Odd Normal, and Facebook too is Odd Normal as well.
I love it. Thank you guys very much for hopping on the show tonight. And I think, Fernando, you raised a good point that the Vitor interview was just strange and oddly fascinating all at the same time. So for all you folks, we're gonna roll this to the Vitor interview, and then John's gonna pick it back up. So thank you very much for joining us here in Rio by proxy of this podcast, and check out Albert's Odd Normal. that's his theme song right there. And be sure to follow Nanda Praches on Twitter and all the things. Nanda underscore.
Nanda Praches underscore.
Just the underscore at the end? That's so weird.
Brutal. I know. I'm sorry. That's
it's like
what
a tail,
happened.
Like
sorry,
a rat tail. Like if you had like a rat tail on your head
that
or something.
Is weird.
It is. But whatever. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. And here's this wonderful interview that Nanda did with Vitor Belfort.
Vitor, I'm just going to get this one out of the way because he needs
Are you
to
ready?
Be asked. It needs to be asked.
Just don't ask me two questions. Are you ready? How are you feeling? You have extra tickets.
No.
Tell me. Okay.
None of those. None of those. My question is, of course, things can happen and you've left that door open. But to this point, are we still calling this your retirement fight?
I'm not retiring because when you retire, you're still getting paid. I'm not getting paid. So I'm not retiring.
Okay.
That's my last fight. That's important because people say, well, okay, what's the legacy you're leaving? Legacy is not what I did for myself. It's what I'm doing for the next generation. Mm. So I think I leave one of the biggest legacy in the sport, for sure, worldwide. And I'm not retiring because I'm not getting paid after I finish. So I'm looking for jobs. I'm looking for opportunities. But that's my last fight, for sure. And I'm very content with what I accomplished in the sport. But I still believe I can contribute so much with the sport. And I love what UFC is doing, you know, creating the institute, creating all that. But we have so much to do. Because sometimes when you have so much, you know, a resource, but you got to have the brains.
Yeah.
Remember that sometimes in life you need both. You need money and brains. And I think now we need people to help make changes for what's coming.
Yeah.
So the barriers that we need to break is going to the Olympics. Okay, what we got to do?
Yeah.
So example, I have a question for you and for everyone. Do you know who make the rules for you for MMA?
What
who create the rules?
The person?
Yeah, who create the rules? It's important for everyone to know who are the groups or the committee that create the rules.
Yeah. Transparency. Because
yeah, we need to know. We know which was this guy, was this. Okay, who are they? And what we need to redo it to go to the next phase. So volleyball changed some rules and become so popular, volleyball. So I think we are on the point to go to the Olympics. We're going to have to adapt. But if we create another rules, we cannot become like boxing, because that's what makes NBA so attractive. Yeah. Because people go to the Olympics, they know they're going to see Kobe Bryant. They know they're going to... So, We want to go to the Olympics, and we want to see the legends in the Olympics. Yeah. So many things we have to do to, and I love what UFC is doing with the Institute. I kind of see what they're doing, creating the data, helping the athletes. But we still, athletes, they don't get paid to train. They only get paid to fight. So we are entertainers.
Yeah.
We're not athletes.
Got it. Since you touched on that, you said one word yourself, retirement. It's not retirement since you're not getting paid.
So
is it something that
it's also
important part
for
of
people
that
to understand?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, remember, you know, I always make these jokes. I think God made a mistake, you know, put me not in America, you know, born in 77 in America. I think I would become... you know, because that's the dream of the land. You see what people can do in America. Unfortunately, in Brazil, it's not easier. It's much tougher. It's a third world country, and we still struggle. But in America, it's the land of opportunity, and everyone that goes there, they rebuild it and they redo it. So my idea is I went there when I was young, but I didn't have the experience I have today. So today, I have major experience. I read so many books. I did so many courses. So I expand my ability to think and to rationalize and to be rational and to be, okay, you know, it's by the feeling. So I kind of see where we can go.
Yeah.
But when you don't have the power to accomplish that, because that's what I believe, we need to be more like ants and less like tigers. So the difference between two animals, ants, they work together in a group and they're going to accomplish big things. So where we want, what we want to accomplish, and that's a very important question. And I really believe that I see the sport so major that it's just hard to describe the way I see it. But I believe sooner or later I will be able to contribute more than what I did. So I'm excited.
It's interesting because every fight week when we talk to you, it's, we don't really talk about the fight that much because you always have so many ideas and so many plans and you're thinking so many things.
But thinking about, if I'm sitting down here talking about what I'm going to talk, are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're not going to ask for tickets.
No, but you know, I'm attending. Yeah, so I have my seat.
So I think people are going to be interested to see this interview because they don't see just the fighter. And I think that's important to understand.
No, absolutely. But like, how do you... Like, it seems like your brain is always processing so much, right? How is it for you to kind of like focus on all the things that you want to achieve and all the things that you do effectively and on your training and in your fight? Like, how do you balance it all out?
It's just like example. My first priority is my kids and my wife, so my family. So I always say I want to contribute to a world better. So how I can do it is raising good kids, raising kids with values and understand that society, people think differently. They have and the different beliefs, the different genders. So how I can raise these kids to bring to society change. You know, I dream with my kids, okay, what about you can bring the cure for cancer? So I just make them dream, you know, okay, what you can do to change politicians. My son loves, you know, politicians. And he say, Dad, and what do you change? What do you change for make people not die for starvation? So I love to process, not just, and that's who I am. So when time to train, here I'm not training, I'm not fighting, I'm here, I'm talking. So you ask me questions that it's interest for them, because if we're here talking to the fight, just the fighter, okay, what about now?
Yeah.
So I'm done with my career, so I'm not going to be fighting, so I'm going to work as a bouncer. That's what people, I believe when I start my career, one of my uncles said, Victor, what are you doing with your life? You should do law. What are you going to do? You want to become a bouncer. That's how they think.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about Mark Zuckerberg drop out of school. Oh, what are you going to do now? You're going to be just these tech kids. So if the guys that never search and go for their dream and don't be a thinker, don't be a doer, because you can think and not do it. So I think the doers. I think that's who I am, you know.
And it's interesting because you take a very pragmatic approach to to things, but you also seem very like emotionally invested in them as well.
Yeah, because you got to work with passion.
Yeah.
You know, if you see the story of Bill Gates, that guy with passion. You know, Steve Jobs, passion. You know, Mark Zuckerberg, passion. Warren Buffett, passion. You know, you name it. All of them, passion. Dana White, passion. Lorenzo, passion. So successful people, if they don't work with passion and beliefs, when difficulty comes, they give up. So Roosevelt, one of the greatest presidents America has, passion, you know. And you name it, the leaders, Martin Luther King, so much passion. You know, Beatles, passion. Oprah, passion. People that change the world is the people that embrace, think out of the box.
Yeah.
So I think you can see me one of these generation that think out of box. So I'm glad to be a doer and a thinker.
That's it. Whenever you bring up these examples, you're always talking about these guys who accomplished great things, not just in whatever it is that they did, right? Like for the world. Like do you think about that for yourself? Like, okay, you have this legacy in fighting and nobody can take that away from you because it's done.
But that's the thing, because I don't know if they know what legacy is, because when you talk about legacy, it's what they live for the next generation. It's not what you did for myself. So example, legacy, like let's give an example. Okay, legacy is not how many titles you have. Example, Floyd Mayweather, what's the legacy he lives for the sport? It's not being undefeated. That's not his legacy. That's his career. Legacy, what he's doing for the next generation that comes along, I paved that, I did that, now it's for you to go and and benefit from this, what I did. So, yeah. Example, talking about terms of politicians. Politicians serve 4 years of government. What's the legacy usually a politician leave for the next guy, even if he's going to do it, go to re-election again? What's the legacy? They live in debts. They did something better. So that's, for me, is legacy. So it's very important for people to understand legacy is not my career, it's not my accomplishment. It's what I left for the next generation.
It's a big occasion for you, right? It's your final fight, and in a place like this, and with a guy who you really seem to respect a lot. It's a big fight for Brazilians. So you're, like I said, a very pragmatic guy. But does that make you emotional? Do you think about the emotional moment that this might be?
No, I think it's that I'm taking all in. You know, I'm enjoying the process. So I like what Gustavo is saying to me. What's the best thing in the movie since the beginning and the end? It's not even the beginning, it's not even the end. It's the whole thing, it's the whole history. It's the point of A to point B. So it's not the point, it's what is between A and B. So the fight's gonna happen Saturday. You know, I'm ready, I'm prepared, Lyoto's ready, prepared. The fans will be there. So what about enjoy it a second, you know, when I'm talking, when I'm waking up, when I'm cutting weight. So many things I have to do to Saturday. So why not take it a day? So people is always trying to anticipate tomorrow. No, live today. And I have a quote that I always said, you know, the yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, today's cash on hand. So doing today your best, you know, who knows who's going to wake up tomorrow. Maybe we're talking to someone right now that want to take his life away. Oh man, my life cannot. You know, who told you you're done? Who told you cannot accomplish? Who told you this failure is the end? Maybe it's the beginning. Look what failure represents for these great thinkers. Failures represent success. And the problem is what people are putting pressure in themselves. The failure is a bad thing. No, I celebrate failure with my kids. I always ask them, okay, tell me something you failed today. Let's see how we can make it better. So I want to make them understand. And I, for example, today Davi is going to start his preseason football. He's a QB quarterback. And I said, Davi, why do you think in football they have four down? Why they have four tries, the quarterback? Why it's not just one try? It's because he has four chances to make one. And then he had again. And then you have it again. And we have an example of Tom Brady. He's an example of never giving up. And then he can change a game with one play. In basketball, the same thing, one play. So why not in life, you know? Why not in fighting? Why not in cooking? Why not in whatever endeavor you choose? You can be successful. And remember, success is not how much money you have.
Yeah.
Success is about values, what you bring in. What you're nurturing people around you, what you're nurturing people, you know, close to you. So I think we are, my perspective of success is not just having power and have authority or having the power of the pen. It's what you're doing for the people that is not even any close to you, but they can nurture. Like this interview, how much I'm giving to them,
yeah.
How much we are giving to them, not me because you're here. So how much you are giving to the people that we may be talking to the future president of any country, or that's maybe intense. You're talking
but
to...
But no pressure.
Yeah, but you know, that's the beauty, you know. Yeah. Point A and point B, just enjoy the journey.
Leslie, so on Sunday when you wake up, like one thing you know, like you won't be Vitor the fighter.
Well, why not?
You still be Vitor the fighter?
Well, always. Yeah. Because I'm going to take whatever endeavor I'm doing, Victor is a fighter. Victor is a guy who's never giving up. Victor is a guy who can see opportunity, see optimism. Okay, don't. Let's try one more time. You know, no, let's not back down. You know, let's just find another way. I think fighting, it's in my DNA wherever I go.
All right, well, there you have it. Cold Coffee bringing it like you knew he would. All the insight from Brazil. You know he's rounding everybody up, getting you the information that you need. Vitor Belfort, man, the look was amazing. Hopefully you've seen the images. The bathrobe, I mean, I love Vitor. I wish I do wish I could have been there this week to do Vitor's retirement interview. Fernanda Prates did a fine job with well, I should not say retirement interview. The interview before his final fight. I would have loved to have done that just because Vitor's such an interesting cat. And of course, we do have some history. You know, there's certainly no doubt we've had some low moments in our relationship. You know, him asking for people to beat me up at a press conference was one that'll go down in the record books. But you know, we've long since worked things out, and certainly have a lot of respect for his time in the sport. You can say what you will about his questionable path along the way, and I think that's fair. I think all those questions that you want to ask are fair. I mean, the TRT era. Oh, man, you know, looking back at it, it's so easy to be like, man, that's stupid. What were we thinking? How do we ever allow that to happen? But there was a time when, you know, we were kind of hailing it as a miracle medicine, you know, for these fighters who put their bodies through something crazy. And that, you know, to think that they could, you know, linked in their careers was something I think a lot of us were down with, you know. Of course, guys like Michael Bisping, you know, suffered permanent damage at the hands of Vitor Belfort. So an interesting career for sure, and an interesting man. And, you know, love him or hate him, and I know a lot of people fall on both sides of that fence. The guy is one of the pioneers, man, and this is going to be it, you know. This is going to be it. So bummed I didn't get to that interview, and bummed I won't get to see that final walk. But, again, no regrets. Happy I stayed home here to be with the family. Listen, I like this card. You know, UFC 224 going up against Bellator 199. A lot of MMA to take in. You know, if you've got the two TV setup, you do it like that, handle your business like that. If you don't, I mean, if you only could watch one card, I mean, one of them is going to cost you $60. If they're free, I mean, if you're not factoring in the fact that there's $60 on the line, you know, I probably watch UFC 224. Again, Vitor Belfort, Lyoto Machida, that's a very important fight there in the history of those two men. Brian Kelleher versus John Lineker could be fun. I'm anxious to see this Amanda Cooper, Mackenzie Dern fight. Amanda Cooper seems hell-bent on demolishing the hype train. And Mackenzie Dern, you know, the questionable preparation, what's going into this? Is it going to be problematic? We'll see. Kelvin Gastelum versus Jacare Souza. Man, I'm just waffling back and forth on my pick for that one. I ended up going with Jacare for the staff picks, but man, Kelvin Gastelum, when he's on, and you can certainly see that being problematic. And, you know, Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington, and I think this is the reason, because this card to me is good, but I think, you know, Amanda Nunes just seems like such a big favorite here, and I don't want to discount Raquel Pennington, but Amanda Nunes, you know, the role that she's on, the time off that Pennington has had, I get why Nunes is such a huge favorite. And so because of that, you know, I think it's that headliner that's causing people to maybe be a little hesitant to buy in. I mean, I do wonder, had Rafael Dos Anjos and Colby Covington taken place on this card, you know, would it have the hype even more to another level? I don't know, because that still leaves you with a Nunes-Pennington main event. I don't think you could put an interim title fight of Dos Anjos versus Covington above Nunes versus Pennington. I don't think that would make sense. I think it would, you know, it's disrespectful, number one. It's just not the way you do. I mean, you could do whatever the hell you want. It's your organization. If you're the UFC, you can do whatever the hell you want. But following along with the way things, how things should be done, I don't think you could. And listen, Raquel Pennington is tough. And if she can survive that early onslaught, she can counterpunch. She can push the pace on Amanda. Maybe she can tire her out in the later rounds. I mean, things can happen. But I get it. You know, sometimes when a fight looks like it's potentially one side on paper, it doesn't captivate people's attention, and then that hurts the rest of the card, because, you know, there are some fun fights on this card. Meanwhile, you got Bellator 199, Ryan Bader versus King Mo Lawal in the main event, the final heavyweight Grand Prix opening round fight. You got Paul Daly versus John Fitch. Intriguing from a name value, if nothing else. Aaron Pico, of course, versus Lee Morrison. I've said it, you know, I said it last week. I'm a big fan of Aaron Pico, and I think he's turning out to be everything we thought he would be. Javier Ayala versus Chuck Congo is happening. Carrington Banks versus Adam Piccolotti as well. you know, I think there's some fights that are worth paying attention to on both cards. No question about that. If you can watch them both at the same time, do it. If you can watch them both at some point, just make sure you get it done. I don't know what I'm going to be doing yet. I don't know what my work assignment yet is going to be. I'm out of the mix, so we'll see. I imagine I'll probably be quarterbacking a little bit of both fights. So we'll find out. We'll find out. Listen, just to looking ahead a little bit. Next week, unfortunately, tried to make it work, but will not be going down to Chile for Demian Maia versus Kamaru Usman. Bummed about that. You know, granted, that card on paper, I understand why the bosses didn't want to commit the resources to going to cover it, but I was looking forward to going to the first South American event outside of Brazil, and I am actually really intrigued by Maia versus Usman. We'll certainly talk about that next week. There's a couple other fights in the card that look like they'll be a lot of fun. Maybe not the click-heavy fights that you would like to see if you're investing money and sending people to go cover it, so I get it. But I will be in Liverpool for that fight, which I'm definitely looking forward to, with Stephen Thompson, the Wonder Boy, versus Darren Till, the Gorilla. A couple weeks out, that card is still having a little trouble as well, trying to find an opponent for Neil Magny. Neil Magny, I know, basically represents himself. I don't believe he has a manager, if I've got that right. And he and Jorge Masvidal have been going back and forth a little bit, you know, online. But Stephen Morocco had been in touch with Neil, who I think had basically said, look, I haven't been offered that fight. Like, I understand Masvidal is talking about it. And I had talked to some reps from Masvidal's side who had already said, like, oh, yeah, we've already been told we're not getting the fight. And I said, well, do you know who is getting it? And they're like, no, I'm not sure. I just know we're not getting it. So it sounds like that fight's kind of dead in the water. And I know Masvidal keeps pushing it, but it doesn't sound like it's happening. So I don't know what's happened. I mean, you hate to pull that fight off that card. I mean, gosh, I mean, listen, ticket sales, that thing sold out instantly. And it would have sold out instantly if it was just Wonder Boy and Darren Till. You know, Liverpool's own, of course, they're going to stand up for Darren Till. And I don't think they care too much about what else is on the card. But I think fans would like to see it. I think they'd like to have some more fights than that. I think they'd like to do some more things than that. And it does get, I mean, you know, as far as entertainment, well, I mean, Jason Knight versus Makwan Amir Khani, oh, looking forward to that one. But, you know, look at those big, meaningful, ranked fights that you'd like to have in your co-main event, that you'd like to have up at the top. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they need to have somebody for Neil. It sounds like maybe there's a European replacement that may be announced even by the time this podcast gets out. But, it you know, it doesn't sound like that Masvidal fight's happening. So, anyway, hopefully they pull that together. But I will be there for that one. Our man Abby Saban will actually be up on weigh-in day and for the fight itself. But he and Shamakar Sandhu, they'll be handling Bellator 200, which is the same weekend. Crazy that Bellator and UFC are both doing events in England 2 days apart. Bellator 200 in London, Mirko Krokop versus Roy Nelson in the main event there. Rafael Carvalho versus Gegard Mousasi for the middleweight title. Michael Venom Page. I mean, some big fights here as well. So a good card. It's interesting because from our understanding, most of the media is based in London in the UK, at least a big portion of them. Because of that, they're going to do the London card, and then a lot of them are hopping on a big van that they've chartered, and everybody kind of chipped in on, and they're all going to head up after the fights on Bellator 200 and try to make it in town in time for the early weigh-ins. They're basically going to drive through the night on a chartered van, try to make it to the early weigh-ins. And then there will be ceremonial weigh-ins that afternoon in Liverpool. And then they're going to get everything done early because Liverpool is playing in the Champions League final, big soccer game, basically the European Championships, that will actually take place in Russia. But Liverpool earned their way into that final game against Real Madrid. So that'll be a big night in Liverpool as well. Hopefully we can grab a pint or two that night and watch a soccer game. But I'll be in Liverpool all week, having everything, all the pre-fight coverage there. and then those guys will join me. But we'll have coverage of both those. So that's kind of what we got coming up on the MMA Junkie front. Other than that, listen, I'm going to go back to being with my family. It's my last day of vacation, but I had to duck out and say hello to everybody. Had to keep the streak alive. 163 straight weeks. We never miss on the MMA road show, even if there's a little vacation. But I tell you what. My son is home from field day. He's hanging out there. My mom is here. We're getting ready. My wife is helping get the house ready for a big birthday party on Saturday before we get to cranking on those two fights. So I'm going to go enjoy a little bit of that. And besides, I'm just bitter that I'm not down in Brazil on the beaches drinking some frosty beverages. Bastards. Back in the mix soon. Thanks for listening. Ha ha ha!